Morning. Jesus Christ, in the early part of his ministry, came across a very interesting situation, if you will, beginning there in verse 1 of Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he that had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So I've entitled the message, Friend of the Dead. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look into your word this morning, I pray that we would learn and grow. And Lord, that the things that we learn would help us to be more like our Savior. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would use the word to speak to us, each one, to convict, to meet needs, whatever, Lord, needs to be done in our hearts. May we open our hearts to hear from you today. We love you and commit the service to you. Pray you'll meet with us and be glorified in it. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. We all understand what happened in this story. It's a beautiful, beautiful victory and miracle that Jesus worked in this man's life. Imagine not only being possessed by one devil, but being possessed by an entire legion of devils. And that was the case for this man. But we also see in this a man that was dwelling among the tombs. Of all the place he could have been dwelling, he chose to dwell in the cemetery. And the reason for that was because he was dead spiritually, as all unsaved people are, and probably felt most comfortable among the dead, if you will. But you know, Jesus teaches that when we're born again, we are transformed from death unto life, praise the Lord. And I think we can relate to this man who was among the tombs and not only dead spiritually, but living in the cemetery of all places. Imagine that. And as we see, untamable, cutting himself, screaming through the night, the entire region was scared to death of him because he couldn't even be bound with chains. He had so much supernatural power from this legion of demons that he could just snap chains. Imagine that. But if you looked at John 5, verse 24, which actually we'll be looking at Wednesday night, Jesus gave us a beautiful truth about death and life. And as we talk about this man this morning, I want us just to think about ourselves and where we were before we were saved. But notice John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Before we were saved, we were dead. In Ephesians 2, 1, the Bible says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were given life. We were quickened by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we passed from death unto life. Hallelujah. But before we were saved, we were just like this man. We were dead. And we were a friend of the dead. And we were living among the dead. And Jesus worked a miracle in our lives, just like he did in this man's life. But as was said there, no man could tame him. They tried. They would bring a whole group of people and they would capture him and they would put him in chains and he would just snap them. Imagine. All that supernatural power. By the way, the devil is real. And the devil does have supernatural power. And here we see an example of it. And never forget that. The Bible says we're to be sober, we're to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He is real. He hates us. He hates Jesus. And praise God, we don't have to fear him, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But look, if you would, at Jude 15, where the Bible talks about the dead, the lost, and how they are untamable by natural means. And you know, the world tries, doesn't it? The world tries to tame the dead, to try to make them happy. And they try every means they can, and they just can't find a solution. Notice Jude verse 15, the Bible says, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. They're ungodly. They're dead. And they live among the dead. And as we see, they are not only untamable, but they cannot find fulfillment. I mean, why would he be cutting himself? Why do the lost look here and there and yonder to try to find satisfaction and they just can't find it? Well, it's because they're not truly happy. They may act like they're happy, but they have no hope. In their hearts, there's no satisfaction. There's no understanding of who they are, where they came from, why they're here, where they're going. And they're not going to find that outside of Christ, are they? You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:20, hell and destruction are never full, and the eyes of man are never satisfied. It's true, isn't it? That's the world. They just look and look and look, and it's never enough. They're never satisfied. Solomon said, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. That is the world. Never happy, never satisfied. Look, if you will, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, where the Lord describes the lost, the dead, and why they can't be tamed, why they cut themselves, why they're unhappy. 1 Thessalonians, look at chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Have no hope. Those people we work with, those people that live next door, they're not happy, and they can't seem to find happiness. Why? They have no hope. Folks, we have hope. Praise God. We know where we're going when we die, not because we're better than them, but because we found Jesus. Amen? And we were dead, and now we have life through Jesus Christ. We have hope. And never forget that those people don't have any hope. They need to be told the good news of Jesus Christ so that they can be rescued. But go back to our passage. I love this story, verse 6. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Look at this. This is a man that can't be tamed. He can't be chained. He screams all night in the cemetery. Everyone's afraid of him. And as soon as he sees Jesus, he runs and he falls down and worships Jesus Christ. Wow. You know why that is? Because even though he was possessed by a legion of devils, they still know who their Lord is. And they know they're headed to hell. But they also know Jesus is their creator, that he is the Lord, and they have no choice but to fall down and worship their creator. Isn't that fascinating? How many times do Christians not worship Jesus when they should? Here we have devils worshiping Jesus. Think about that. Go to John chapter 8, where Jesus made it very clear that if people are not willing to acknowledge the person of Jesus Christ, they cannot be saved. And yet here we have demons, devils, acknowledging the person of Jesus Christ. And people come to our door and tell us Jesus is not God. They're making others twofold more the child of hell than themselves. Jesus said, John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If you're not willing to acknowledge the person of Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. That's the truth of the matter. And now in James chapter 2, the Bible says, thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. The devils believe in one God. The wicked devils that were causing this man to be the way he was and cutting himself and breaking chains and scaring the whole region, he recognized the person of Christ. Now, were they saved? Of course not. They're devils. But they also know who Jesus is. Imagine that. Devils worshiping Jesus. And so the devils, they asked Jesus. They didn't tell Jesus. They asked permission because they know who's in charge. Amen? Jesus. He's the Lord. They asked permission of Jesus if they could go into the swine. Because they knew Jesus was in complete control. He could have destroyed them. He could have sent them somewhere else. They asked permission. Jesus, verse 12, send us into the swine that we may enter. And then they besought him. They acknowledged that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is in control. And Jesus gave them their request. Of course, Jesus knew what was going to happen, didn't he? What happened to the swine? Well, they went and drowned themselves. Imagine that. Did you see how many swine it was? Was it 2,000? Imagine 2,000 pigs running into the sea at the same time and all drowning themselves. Now, you got to understand, this was a Jewish region as well. And the Jews were forbidden of God to raise or eat swine. That was one meat that they were never allowed to even touch. And here they are raising swine. So there's a hidden message there as well, which we don't really need to get into. I think Jesus was just dealing with their disobedience. But Jesus gave these devils their request, and they didn't spend very long in the swine, did they? It lasted a couple of minutes and then they were all drowned. Which isn't the point of the story. The point of the story is verse 15 that says they came to Jesus and they see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Isn't that good? This man who's been cutting himself, scaring the whole region, living in the cemetery, can break chains. The whole town hears about the pigs and they come running to see what happened. And here's this man sitting with Jesus Christ, completely normal. In his right mind, you know, that's what Jesus did for us. Amen. We were dead. We were on our way to a devil's hell. And Jesus gave us eternal life. He made us a new creature in Christ. Praise the Lord. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And the day you got saved, Jesus made you new. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. And the Bible makes it very clear that when God saved us, He gave us not only a new destiny, which is heaven, but He even made us a new person. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Before we were saved, the devil was our father. How do we know that? Because Jesus tells us so in John chapter 8. He told the Pharisees, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. The day we got saved, we got a new father. Amen. And we became a new man. Look in Ephesians 4, two chapters over, verse 24. The Bible says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. God gave us a new man. That spirit that was dead has been given life. We are a new creature in Jesus Christ. And I hope we're in our right mind. This man was. He found Jesus Christ. And he went from being dead to being alive and being in his right mind. But I want you to look at the response of the town. Verse 15 of our passage. They were afraid. How sad. Wouldn't you think they should rejoice? That this man who's been scaring them all, this man who's been running around and screaming and cutting himself in the tombs, is now in his right mind. Shouldn't they be saying, wow, this is a great miracle. This is wonderful. No, they were afraid. You know why they were afraid? Partly because of the pigs or the swine. But also the world doesn't understand. Do they? When you get saved and you tell your friends, I got saved. Jesus saved me from my sins and I'm going to heaven. What do they usually say? Yay! No, they're usually like, what's wrong with you? They don't understand. They can't even relate. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 4 where Peter makes it very clear this is exactly the problem. The world doesn't even relate. They can't even understand what we're talking about. And this town, they didn't understand, how in the world is this man in his right mind? This is scary for us. 1 Peter 4:4, look what it says. Wherein they think it strange, talking about our old friends, that you run not with them in the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They think, what is wrong with you? Why do you not want to go out and get into trouble like you used to? Why do you not want to go with us down to the pub anymore? What happened? They don't understand. And it makes them uncomfortable. You would think they would be rejoicing. This man has been rescued from being controlled by a legion of devils. And instead it says they were afraid. So don't be surprised when the world doesn't react the way you want them to when you tell them about Jesus Christ. When you tell them you've been rescued from death, when you've been rescued from your sin, don't be surprised if their reaction is, whoa. Because it probably will be. And so verse 16, they that saw it told them how it befell them, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. Rather than saying, wow, Jesus just healed this man who has been terrifying the whole region, we need to bring some other people to get healed, they said, no, Jesus, please leave. Imagine that. I'd say their priorities were a bit off, wouldn't you? Imagine if the Son of God showed up today and their response was, would you please leave? You're making us uncomfortable. Instead of, praise God, we are in the presence of God, Jesus Christ, the Lord of heaven and earth. He said, we want you to leave. But you know, the Bible says the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It's one or the other. In James 4:4. So verse 18, when he was coming to the ship, he had been possessed with the devil, prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. I love that. I appreciate it that you want to travel with me, but I want you to go home and tell all your friends what happened. And you know that's what Jesus wants us to do, isn't it? Go tell. Go and tell people what happened. Some of them might actually listen and get saved. And sure enough, verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. When he went home, I'm sure everybody in his hometown knew the story of what had happened to this guy from their town, that he lived in the cemetery and that he was cutting himself and screaming all night and breaking chains. And here he shows up in his total right mind, said, I met Jesus and I'm healed. And it says they did marvel. Wow. But you know, as we think about this man and what God did for him and how God used him to tell others about how he was rescued, I want us to think about the fact that before all this happened, he wanted to hang out in the cemetery and hang out with dead bodies. And how many Christians today would rather spend their time with dead people than live people? Think about that. The Bible says that to be a friend of the world is to be the enemy of God. Now, we're to be friendly to the world, and we're to tell them about Jesus, and we're to help them whenever we can. But our best friends shouldn't be unsaved people. I mean, why should the best friends of someone who's alive be a dead person? Think about that. The Bible says, what communion hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And it's true. What communion hath light with darkness? God says, you're new now. I want you to be separate. I want you to be different. You're alive. I don't want you to be hanging out with dead people all the time. And yet, you meet Christians all the time, they'd rather hang out with dead people than Christians. And that's a bit scary. Because they've been given a new life. They've been put in their right mind. They're now a child of God. They're going to heaven. They have the Holy Spirit. They have the Word of God. And they'd rather hang out with dead people? That doesn't even make any sense, does it? And yet I see it all the time. So just something to ponder. I hear this man was a friend of the dead, but he's not now. Now he went back home and said, look what Jesus did. He changed me. He rescued me. And people marveled. That's what we're supposed to do after we get saved. Tell them what God did for us so that they'll marvel. And some of them will actually listen and get saved. But sometimes Christians, they get tricked by the devil and then they'd rather hang out with dead people. And that's a bit strange. You go to 2 Corinthians 6 and we'll see what God says about it. Down in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? God says they don't go together. You can't, light and darkness can't commune. And righteousness and unrighteousness can't have fellowship. Not genuine fellowship. Now, does that mean we're supposed to go hide on a mountain as Christian and not talk to the world? No, that's not what it's saying. We're to be friendly to them. We're to love them as Christ loves them and tell them about Jesus. But the people that we choose to spend time with, as far as friendships go and as far as our, you know, who our close friends are, it's very clear what God wants. We're not to be a friend of the dead. And the Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So it's something to ponder. God has rescued us from death. Think about that. We were on our way to hell to be punished forever and ever in hell. He gave us eternal life. And we're going to spend forever with Jesus. And now he wants us to be in our right mind. He wants us to be different, and he wants us to publish what he did for us. He rescued us. And if this man would have gone back and said, you know, it's good what Jesus did for me, and I went and told my friends, but I think I want to go back to the cemetery. We would all think, now that's strange. But isn't that what it looks like when a Christian goes back? 2 Peter talks about the dog going back to his vomit. It's exactly what it looks like to God when we go back and say, you know, I'd rather go hang out with dead people and act like them and be like them. Let's not be a friend of the dead. Let's be children of light. Amen. And walk as children of light. And you know, maybe to someone in this room, you'd be honest, say, the truth is, I think I'm still dead. I mean, I believe in God, but I don't know if for sure I'm born again. Until you're born again, you are dead. Now you say, but I'm alive. No, physically you're alive. Spiritually, you're dead. You won't be alive until you get life from Jesus Christ, who is life. And he's willing to do that for you, give you eternal life. But we as Christians, do we prefer to be with the living, or do we prefer to be with the dead? And our answer to that question reveals where our heart is with the Lord. Amen? So let's not be a friend of the dead. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank